Congregation, I would invite you this evening to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Reading from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, wherewith he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that come against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of that portion of his own holy and infallible word. Congregation, I would ask you to turn in your Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 14. And for a few moments this evening, I would like to meditate on the 22nd verse. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. A congregation, I had intended this evening to bring a different message, one from Ephesians chapter 3. And yet this morning, as you were being seated again in your seats from the close of the Lord's Supper, I was reminded of a practice that an old practice that I saw, that I witnessed in one of the Scottish churches in the Highlands of Scotland on the Isle of Lewis after Lord's Supper. It was the year that I was ordained to the ministry. And as the table drew to a close and the last seating of the table had concluded and the people were going back to their seats in the pews, that it was traditionally one of the elders that would cover again the elements of the table. And it was an elder, before he put the cloth back over the elements, that he took the silver cup and he proceeded to pour more wine into the cup. I remember wondering why he added more wine after the Lord's Supper had concluded. And so I asked the question back in the consistory room, and the minister told me, "We know that in the Highlands that many people struggle with the Lord's Supper. And so we do this to tell them that there is more. There is yet more. More room in Christ." And as I ascended the pulpit and as I looked at you as a congregation, I was reminded of this text. And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded." And yet there is room. And I couldn't get it out of my mind this afternoon. And so I want to bring to you tonight, I'm just a servant. And yet as I look at you, my dear congregation, in light of the fullness of Christ, in light of all the bounty and fullness of that precious Savior, I feel I need to say to you tonight, yet there is room. Some here are burdened tonight in not coming, for not feeling in their hearts the warrant, though feeling the pain of not being there. But some tonight have no burden at all. But you're simply glad that the Lord's Supper is over and that the pressure is off. Some were hindered for other reasons, reasons that are not known by any in the congregation. They desired to come, but they were providentially hindered. And some, like our children and our young people, at this point, all they can do when the Lord's Supper is given is watch and observe. And so this morning it was laid on my heart that there are many in our number this morning that for a variety of reasons could not come. And I want to speak to you tonight. I want you to know, yet there is room. There is room for the despondent. That there is room for the cold and dead sinner. That there is room for the children and youth of our congregation. Yet there is room. You know, there is a certain way and in a certain instance where there is no room for some. The fallen angels, when they hear these words, those angels that once praise God with pureness of heart and strength and energy, when they fell from the condition in which they were in, when they hear these words, they realize every time that there is no room for them. That there was no mediator given to them. That they were the first breakers of the law. They were the first ones that went over the hedge of the law. And God passed severe judgment on them. As the Scriptures say, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until judgment of the great day. And those chains are everlasting, and their prison is darkness. There is nothing that awaits them but divine wrath and judgment. And alongside of them, there are the damned in hell. And they interpret these words differently in this sense, that there was once room for them. But there is no room since they passed from this world to the next world. As Luke 13 says, the master of the house hath risen up and he hath shut the door. They know now that they had their day. They knew not the things which belonged to their peace, and now they are hid from their eyes. Some who sat in the church with those who heard the same gospel, who are now in heaven, but now those in hell can only say today that there was room. That there was room. And yet tonight we are among the living. And I want you to hear, dear ones, this gospel promise. Yet there is room. The door is not shut. There is still room in Christ. The first thing I want you to see is what there is room for. Christ has been opened to you in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some of you have said, in effect, we will not have this man to reign over us. And you have come to church and you have heard the message of saving grace, the calls to repentance, and you still resist. You still do not give over. And if He were to leave you as He finds you, there would be no hope. The sentence would be passed on you, I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of My supper. And if those words are ever passed, then there is no more room, then there is no more hope. that he might have dealt with you this way, or in the same way that he dealt with Ananias and Sapphira, but he has not done it. You are still here. You are still under the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, under the sound of the gospel. And the message, sinner, for you tonight is, yet there is room. There's still room. There is yet room to look at that covenant of grace and to subscribe your name to it. That God in Christ has sent down a copy, an open copy of that covenant of grace, and he has done so, children, listen to me, by your baptism. And he has sent me as one minister of the gospel with pen in hand and that covenant, saying, will you not sign, will you not subscribe? And in the gospel, as we have read even tonight, to compel men to come in, here is pen and here is the covenant, will you not subscribe? Many have set their names to it. O my soul, says David, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. And gather, says God, my saints, together unto me those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. That there is yet room. Isaiah 45 says, one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. That while you are under the sound and preaching of the gospel, that God is coming to you in Christ, and he's saying, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even by the sure mercies of David, there is yet room. There is yet room for what? First, there is yet room for repentance. That sinner, you have been a fool long enough. You have sat long enough in the sin of your own life and of your own creation. You have sinned long enough. You have sat long enough in the cesspool of that very thing which will take you to hell and torment. If there is room for repentance, there is no room in hell for repentance when you will finally realize that while you were on earth, there was yet room. There was yet time. Ezekiel 18 says, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. And so for some of you tonight, though it may be the 11th hour, there is yet room. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. You will not know until it happens. Tonight may be the last time you hear the words, there is yet room in Christ. Where then? Where is there room? there is room in the household of faith called salvation. Well, sometimes we think that because the way to Christ is the narrow way, it is the straight gate, that somehow the salvation of God in Christ is also narrow and it is also small. That is not true. Though the way is narrow, and though the gate is straight, though it is strict and it is small, on the other side in Christ there is plentiful room. That grand household of salvation that is built by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that great council of peace in the covenant of redemption, it is wide and it is open. In that room, in that household of faith, where does one begin? You begin where every household begins, at the door. But dear one, there is room at the door. In fact, the door is the only way to enter into it. Jesus Christ says of Himself, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture, find great pasture, find wide pasture." And I want you to know something tonight, that He is willing to receive you. The door is opened in the gospel. That the door is wide open so that the worst of sinners are declared capable of that access to the Father by coming by Christ. And such, says Paul to the Corinthians, were some of you, even the worst of sinners. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That without Christ there is no access. He is the door. He is the entrance point. And He says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." There is room. Yet there is room. Where? At the very door of that household of salvation that is Christ. There is no angel standing with a flaming sword, keeping souls away. The partition was broken down and strangers are welcome to come in at the door. Christ is the door. "Having therefore boldness," says Paul, "brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, His flesh. There is room. Yet, there is room. Why? Because Christ's house is not yet filled. It's not yet filled. If it were filled, then the door would be shut and Christ would descend with that trumpet sound, with that great shout. But if He has not returned, then the door is still opened and yet there is room. Why will you not come in? There is room enough for you in our Father's house, and all who are in it have bread enough to spare. Why then will you perish? There is room in this house for salvation. There are two great families on this earth. There is the family of the evil one. There is the family of the devil. And there is the family of Christ. And by nature, spiritually, we are all born in trespasses and sins. And we belong, as Christ says, to your father, the devil. Christ is willing to take you in. He invites you into it. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. That there is room as friends in this house. Friends of Christ. Henceforth, says he, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And it's no small matter to be made a friend of the house of God, a friend to whom he will tell his secrets. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. He is that friend that can do you the most good when all other friends are helpless to you, even at a dying hour, and he can present you blameless before him in the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. That's what it means when it says, and yet, there is room. There is room in the upstairs of this household of faith because the veil has been rent in two from the top to the bottom, and there is full access into the holiest of all by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That Christ has opened heaven. Listen, in the Father's house, Christ says, there are many mansions, not a few mansions, not one or two large mansions, but there are many mansions. And that Christ is there even now preparing a place for you. That it's not only congregation, the household of faith. It's not only the call and promise of the gospel in its saving benefit and its saving element that this verse is applicable to, and yet there is room. But all of the subsequent outflows, as we have spoken of for the past several weeks, of the saving benefits of Christ, even at the Lord's Supper. And so if this verse pertains to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, so it pertains to the visible sermon and Holy Supper. And I want to say to you tonight, in respect to Holy Supper, yet there is room. Yet there is room. You who struggled this morning, I want you to know that there is still room for you at the table. That I wish I could come down from the pulpit and take the elements and pour more wine into the cup so you could see that there is still more. And I know your struggle. And I know you were tried this day. Do not despair. Listen, dear soul, do not despair. You who truly struggled, Christ knows your weakness. He knows your trial. He knows your burden. And this is your text tonight. And yet, there is room. And I want you to hold on to that text, and I want you to memorize that text, and I want you to take it with you tonight, and I want you to meditate on it, and as you think, even if the Lord should allow of the months that will pass before we have Lord's Supper again, I want you to take one message with you tonight, dear one. Yet there is room. Oh, there is great supply in Christ. His desire is that you would enter through that door and that you would go in and out and have and find pasture. Because Christ's table is well supplied. That what you saw there by way of elements, by what you saw there by way of seating, that Christ would say, and yet there is more, there is still room. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, that is a feast of many things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines of the leaves, well refined. That if you were made thirsty and hungry by the preaching of the Word of God, of the setting forth of Christ, that it would not leave you. That I want you to know that at that table this morning were many great benefits, even for your own soul. Great dishes at that supper of peace and of pardon and joy in the Holy Ghost and all of the benefits of the covenant for you, I want to say, yet there is room. There is room. We have added chairs around the Lord's table. Is that a bad thing? Some would say yes. But would Christ have more chairs added to His table? Yes. Yet there is room. You know, the Erskines, Ralph and Ebenezer, in their time and season of preaching in Scotland, when they saw much blessing upon the preaching of the Word of God, they saw such an increase at the table of the Lord that they began to wonder if they had made the way too wide, and so they began to preach messages of warning to try to separate the wheat from the chaff, only to find out at Lord's Supper that there was hardly any chaff at all. There is a blessing in the preaching when Christ falls upon the hearts of His people. He blesses His Word. And if the gospel is being preached faithfully, why would we then question an increase at the table? And I say this because there is yet room. Why would we think that a faithful message would not produce fruit? Yet is there room? Another table? Another seating? Yes, if the Lord should will it. Because the gospel is still being preached. And yet, there is room. Oh, may we never restrict what Christ has so widely opened. And children, listen to me. Children, listen. This morning you were only able to sit in your pew and watch the Lord's Supper from your seat. Do you know what I want you to know, children? I want you to know that there is more room in Christ for you. That the Lord would move upon your young heart, your young, sinful heart, and you would see Him as your Savior from your sins, that you would know that you don't have to wait until you're older to come to Christ. I want you, children, to know tonight that for you, yet there is room. And young people, my catechism class, my senior catechism class, and my confession of faith class, listen to me. You who are becoming adults, becoming young men and young women, I want you to know, yet there is room. Perish the thought that you have to wait until you are older before you can close with Christ. I want you to know it is a blessing to seek the Lord early. And they that seek the Lord early shall find Him. I want you to know that yet there is room. Any kind of sinner. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that is that hath no money, come ye and eat, yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Everyone that thirsteth, there is yet room. And perhaps some of you here tonight have grown old in waiting. And you look at yourself and your gray hairs are found where they never were before. Yet there is room for you. He calls even at the 11th hour. Aged sinner, has your time not yet come? When you were young, you perhaps delayed until you would come to older years, and you thought maybe then it will go this way and that way with me, but it never has. And now you sit here and you are at the dusk of your life, the twilight of your years. And I say to you, elderly in our midst, do not delay. Yet there is room. There is room for an old sinner in the house of the everlasting Father and the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a day of power, a man may be born again even when he is old. And do not believe the lie that is whispered in your ears so many times. My day has passed. I am old and gray, and there is no hope for me. No. The gospel is still sounded in your ear. Yet there is room. But I want you to know, congregation, there is room for many in the heart of the Master of the feast. Why does He call? If it were not so, in the last day, that great day of the feast, says the gospel, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." You would set your face homeward. And the Father's heart yearns toward the returning prodigal, and He will meet you in the way. The plain teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this, that He is both an able and willing Savior. His name is Jesus, because He saves His people from their sins. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Christ complains that sinners will not come to Him that He might save them. Ye will not come to Me that ye may have life. Christ is lifted on the pole of the gospel, that sinners may look to Him and be saved. And the command is, look unto Me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. That Jesus is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Rose of Sharon. That is, He is the Rose of the field. A wide field where access is given to all. But there are waters in Him for washing the most polluted, and that everyone who thirsteth may come to these waters. And yet there is room. it compels me to preach to you. It gives me the fire and the fodder to go back to the Word of God and to ask the Lord to give yet another message to you as a congregation, because I see here in the Word of God, yet there is room. And I see so many who are in need of Him. And so tonight I say to you, come then, you sinner. Yet there is room. And come then, you tired. Yet there is room. Come then, you doubting. Yet there is room. And though there may be already many seated at that table, there is room. And you may have come from this background. You may have come from that tradition. But do you know what I'm discovering in your midst, dear congregation? That the gospel of Jesus Christ is the great equalizer. He brings down the mountains. And He raises up the valley. He is the great equalizer. His will be performed. And so in one sense, it matters very little your background. In one sense, it matters very little what tradition you may have come from. Because the Holy Spirit will have His way. He will do His work. Why? Because the Scriptures say this, many have come from the east and the west and from the north and from the south and have sat down with Abraham in the kingdom. The gospel is the great equalizer. That the Holy Spirit transcends traditions. He transcends generations. He transcends all that would be standing in the way. And He may wipe it all away and speak to your heart. Pierce through it all and say to you, yet there is room for you, dear soul. But the house is not yet full. We are still here. And so I think, in light of the Word of God, that He expects more guests. If it were not so, the doors would be shut and the servants would be gone from inviting. To go into the highways and to the hedges and compel them to come in. Paul says that he stands in the place of Christ and he beseeches men to be reconciled to Christ. And though this morning perhaps you thought that your case is worse now than it was ever before, I'm here to tell you, yet there is room. But the same grace that reached Paul on his way to Damascus can reach you in your need. Whatever your case may be tonight, I want you to leave with this principle, yet there is room. But though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But dear one, do not wait. Do not tarry. No one knows how long that door stays open. But come, while there is yet room. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal and gracious God in heaven, oh, what a blessing it is if we could know that there is yet room. Room for sinners savingly in Christ. Room for doubting ones at the Lord's Supper. Room for covenant children who have yet to close with Christ. Room for young adults who are being trained in the way. Room for the elderly who have sat so long and never been able to come to the table. That none of us would leave here tonight thinking there is no room for me. And that Thy Holy Spirit would engrave in this text on our hearts. And yet there is room. O Lord, may we not forget it. And may we, in meditating on it, see all the benefits of Christ. And so we ask that Thy Spirit would have His perfect way with us, to the saving of our souls and the glory of His name. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.